Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today. Tell them you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. Now on with the show. Today, we welcome back Naomi Koh of Little Crown Interiors to the podcast. Naomi was our very first featured designer when it all started back in May of 2018. And now, she's our first featured designer in our Where Are They Now series. We're catching up with some of our favorite guests to see what's new and exciting in their world of design. In this episode, we revisit Naomi's commitment to her design niche. We discuss her response to the recent shift in the market, and she shares her experience of writing her very first book. If you're thinking about adding author to your list of things to accomplish in the new year, grab a pad and pen because this episode is filled with nuggets of advice and inspiration. Let's get started. So Naomi, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Rick.
It's so great to have you again.
Yes.
So you were my very first interview. Can you believe it?
That's right. Oh my gosh.
Episode one.
How long ago was that?
You know, I looked back. It was in May of 2018.
2018. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. A lot has changed.
A lot has changed since then. Hence, my new series called Where Are They Now?
Makes
so
sense.
So now you're going to be my first interview for the Where Are They Now series.
Okay.
It's a lot of firsts with you.
I'm honored.
Well, and I appreciate you because I remember back in the day when I had this crazy idea and you were so on board and you were like, yeah, I'll do it. And so we sat down and recorded an interview and now here we are 60 plus episodes later.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been doing great.
It's been very exciting. So I'm glad to catch up with you because you're right. A lot has changed. But for those listeners who haven't listened to the very first episode, they should go back and listen to it. But let's give them some cliff notes. Fill us in very quickly on a little bit about you and your business.
Sure. So I specialize in nursery and children's design. So my design company is unique in that I don't do, you know, whole houses, kitchens, anything. I just do nurseries, kids' rooms, playrooms, occasionally a teen room, lately some study rooms because of COVID. Yeah, so I've been doing that for 12 plus years now.
Right.
And it has been quite the journey. Thinking back even just to 2018, you know, so much has happened since then. So, yeah, it's been really fun. I like the niche a lot. It was tricky at first just because nobody was really doing it at the time. But now that I've really found my footing and it's been a long time and I know what to do and It's definitely kind of my thing now.
Right. Yeah. Right. I actually use you as an example all the time. When I do my lecture at IDI about establishing a niche, because so many of us as design professionals, we're kind of all over the board and we kind of take whatever comes our way. And yeah, you know, we have a typical project, but to really hone in on something as specific as nurseries, that's pretty unique. And so I use you as an example all the time as to how that can actually it can actually work. You know, it's a business.
Yeah. I learned kind of the hard way that the only way to make that work is to commit to it. Because for the first couple of years there, you know, I was afraid like, oh, if I don't accept any job, I'm going to make no money and I'm going to fail and all that. So it wasn't until I fully committed, like, I am a nursery designer. If you ask me to do your kitchen, I will say no.
Right.
Then it started to kind of fall into place because I could sink my heels in and do, you know, marketing that made sense. And I wasn't taking jobs that I couldn't photograph and, you know, et cetera. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you learn to say no early on, which is super important. And we talk about that on the podcast all the time. Like the moment you embrace that and you learn to say no and kind of stand your ground and stick to your business model, total game changer. Sounds like that happened for you sooner than later. And that's a good thing.
I don't know how soon it happened. But it happened.
Right. Well, you're not designing man caves or anything like that. So no. you clearly learned how to say no.
Yeah, I did. But it was a hard decision to make because there's that part of your brain that's like, but what if, you know? So
yeah,
it was hard, but I did it.
Well, it's funny. So obviously now with COVID, we can't not talk about it. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, and I think it's more relevant now than ever, is that temptation to stray, you know, from your niche. So, and you said in your introduction that you've done a couple of offices and workspaces and things like that. But at a time like this, when business is up in the air and God knows what's going to happen, there must have been other opportunities to do other things. You know, how did you convince yourself not to stray from your niche and to really kind of, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone?
So I've actually kind of had an opposite experience. When I mentioned that I do study rooms, they're for children.
Right.
So that's well within my wheelhouse. But what's happened for me is, you know, of course, in March, the first lockdown, I was like, oh my God, my life's over. No one's ever going to hire me again. And then it very quickly flipped and tons of people, I was getting so many inquiries about just doing nurseries because I think people who were who already had a baby on the way were kind of panicking that they needed to get it done. And people who, you know, just had children or whatever were just stuck at home and they wanted to redo their space. So I didn't have that experience. I've had more repeat clients this year than I've ever had before. I'm working probably with 6 or 7 right now that I've had in the past.
Really?
So everyone's just kind of looking for projects to do
around
the house. And when it's, you know, nursery or kids related, they call me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are expecting right now also. It's been an interesting year. I think it's a result of our year and what we've been dealing with.
I don't know what the actual numbers on that. I just know that it has been quite busy for me.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, my nieces, they're all expecting. And
really?
Oh, yeah. It's a big year for our family. So clearly, I mean, you've seen a lot of kids grow up. I like that you said that not only do you work with repeat clients for maybe their second or third child, but also there's opportunity. And we talked about this originally in the podcast the first time. There's opportunity to expand upon your work as the children grow up.
Yeah.
So that's, Yeah,
I have a few that I've known. I just signed on another client who I worked with her when she had her, I think her second child, and that was 10 years ago. And now we're on the third redesign of that child's room.
Right.
So yeah, I've known her a very long time. And it's really neat to see not only that the children grow up, but kind of what they're into.
Yeah.
You know, what they're asking for, what kind of things they're changing their minds about, colors. It's neat.
Right. Yeah. One of the things I wanted to circle back to also was how you're attracting clients. So we did talk about e-design when we first spoke. Are you still e-designing now? Is that a trend that has kind of kept up?
Yeah, definitely. And again, with COVID, I think people are just looking for that. So that has definitely been a fair part of my business this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you already had that in place. I know a lot of designers were scrambling to put it in place. Mm-hmm. And luckily for you, you already had it in place.
I did. I've definitely made a few tweaks because I've been doing so many that I've kind of learned how to streamline it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I can really get it to work for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't take as much time.
And would you say that more of your business comes from eDesign online or referrals, or is it kind of a split?
In general, probably Instagram.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I've spoken with a lot of designers who love Instagram, but they're like, I never get work from it. But I've also spoken with designers who say they get a lot of work from Instagram. Mm-hmm. Tell us your experience.
Yeah, definitely Instagram is the top driver for me, aside from referrals. Repeat clients. Mm-hmm. Instagram is huge. And I think the reason for that is because I'm so specific that they're actively looking for photos of nurseries. Whereas if, you know, the regular interior design world is so huge.
Yes, it's very broad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where it comes from, is that they're actively looking for it and then they find me.
Yeah.
Pinterest also does pretty well for me. I get some referrals from there. Google Images and just website stuff is probably third on the list.
Yeah,
I would say.
So that's probably another good example of how really kind of honing in on a niche is a good thing, because then it really allows you to saturate, you know, those avenues with imagery very specific to you. It's a very specific search and it leads right back to you.
Yes.
You know, instead of being this broad, you know, hashtag interior design. I mean, it's endless.
Right. It's endless.
It's endless. Yeah. My gosh. So one of the exciting things that's happening with you right now that I know and I want to talk about is you wrote a book.
I wrote a book.
A lot has happened in a couple of years.
Yes.
And I think that's very exciting. So I really want to talk about that. I want you to tell us about the book. And then I kind of want you to tell us a little bit about your experience, because I'm not going to say it's a trend, but I just happen to know some other designers who are kind of in that same space. I'm in the process of writing a book myself. I know a couple of other designers who are thinking about it or strategizing. And so anything you could share with us on your process would be helpful.
Yeah. So I kind of already wrote the book probably, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It just happened. It was in my brain and I couldn't sleep until I got it out. So I got it out on paper and then I let it sit and it did nothing. And I was working at a co-working office and I met someone there, who Kyle Rutkin is his name, and he's an author, and he also works in marketing. So he was like, hey, you just have that sitting there. You should do something with that.
Yes.
I was like, but I don't want to, I'm scared, you know? So he was like, no, you really should. I'll help you. And, so he actually helped me significantly. I don't know that I would have done much without his help. We got an agent. So I found a book agent, and then we wrote a book pitch, and that went out to all the publishing houses, and luckily we were picked up by Simon & Schuster.
Awesome.
And it's a smaller offshoot, Tiller Press. It was under Simon & Schuster, which actually I think just got sold. Like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, and so then we negotiated with the publisher to get, you know, quote unquote book deal.
Right.
And then once that was in place, I started rewriting and much expanding on the manuscript that I already had and producing it. So writing, photographing, putting it all together, and we are finishing up that process now.
I think it's interesting that you said that you had already written the book. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm learning as I'm going through the process is that all of us are sitting on a lot of content that we may not realize, you know, repurposing blog posts and interviews like what I'm doing right now. And there's so many examples of content for the book that many of us have already produced. And it's a matter of acknowledging that, or recognizing it, I should say, and then putting it into play.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff has value.
For sure.
And if it's just sitting there, it's not doing anything for you.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about the book, because I got to preview it because I'm special, is I, I'm excited to see that you were able to repurpose so much of your beautiful imagery. I mean, it's mm-hmm. already laid out so beautifully on your website and on Instagram. And now, you know, your book has shown me that yet another area in which that imagery can be repurposed and mm-hmm. shared.
Yeah, we definitely shot a bunch of new stuff mm-hmm. as well. And then we have a few different designers that are also included in there as well. So it's mostly my work, but there's a few other things in there just to kind of give it a well-rounded feel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, repurposing a lot of that content is, it just makes sense.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I like about the book that I think is interesting, and I think for other design professionals out there who are listening and are thinking about, you know, developing some sort of book or guide, if you will, I noticed that your approach is not so much how you can hire me to design an incredible nursery mm-hmm. for you. It's really a resource. It's really like, these are the things that need to go into it. And, you know, I'm showing you how, I'm sharing mm-hmm. with you some of the best ways to achieve this. So you're really speaking to a consumer audience. You're not really like putting up a banner saying, hire me, you know, and we're conditioned to sell. I mean, as designers. So that must have been an interesting shift.
Yeah, and there was a conversation in my head about that. And where I landed is that the type of person who goes and buys a book on how to and then does it themselves mm-hmm. is not the person who will hire an interior designer.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's absolutely not contradictory, because I'm looking at a different audience here. So I'm able to now reach people who never would have hired a designer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people who would hire a designer aren't the people who are going to DIY everything themselves. You know what I mean? So,
right. They're not going to read the book. They're not going to buy the book. They're going to hire you.
They might buy it and look at the pictures.
Yeah, but that's, but, and then they'd call you.
Yeah. And so I think either way, right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think there's much of a risk of giving away everything and then somebody not hiring me because of it.
Right.
If that happens once or twice, that's fine with me.
That's okay.
You know, but I think in general, it's really reaching a different audience.
It's definitely broadening your reach mm-hmm. substantially. You know, and I think it's pretty cool that you recognize that you have so much great knowledge and information, and it should be shared. I mean, that's the beauty of publishing and sharing that information. I mean, you know how I feel mm-hmm. about sharing information in the interior design community. So the reason I'm saying that is, I think anyone that's thinking about doing this, you know, think about what you have to offer and the information that you can share on a broader scale mm-hmm. and how that's going to benefit people, and kind of, you know, take that into consideration.
Yeah, and that was important to me, to write a book that really is accessible and actionable for somebody who buys it with the intent of creating their nursery on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I feel like there are a lot of books and resources that kind of tell you, but they leave out things.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be super transparent and, you know, here it is.
Yeah. You put
you
it all
do
out
it?
There.
Here's how to do it.
No, you did. You put it all out there. And that's why I think it's going to do so incredibly well.
Because I sure hope so.
You can tell when you're reading, it's like, they're not giving me everything. There's mm-hmm. a catch here. Like, what's happening here? And this is just like, it's super transparent. It's super informational. I mean, I think it's great. I don't have kids, but, but it looks great.
Thanks.
I think it's really cool. What was your favorite part about the process? And what was your least favorite part?
Oh, I think my favorite part kind of just happened the other day, was when I got my color proofs.
Oh.
So when you kind of start to see it coming together,
mm-hmm.
That's really exciting, because the process, at least the way that I was doing it, was writing all of the text and doing all of the photo shoots kind of separately, mm-hmm. and then they get merged together. So once you start to see those first drafts of everything laid out and getting the, you know, physical proof in the mail, it's really, really super exciting. So that was cool. I think least favorite, probably editing the manuscript. Manuscript is kind of the publishing word for it, the Word document that has all the text in it, right?
Right.
So, you know, because we went through tons of different edits on that, and it's big. There's hundreds of pages worth of material.
Right, right.
So every time it comes back from the publisher with notes on it, it's like, okay, I got to read this entire thing again.
Here we go again.
And it takes a lot of focus and time to do that.
I'm sure.
So just kind of sitting and staring at a computer screen for 4 straight hours. And
right. We don't typically read the same book 10 or 12 times. So,
exactly. Yeah, that's and when not it's your normal. Own work, you tend to find all, you know, things that you're like, oh, it makes me cringe now that I've read it 12 times.
Oh, God help you. Don't go back and change anything. Oh, my gosh, you'll never finish.
Exactly. So luckily I was under, you know, deadline, so I had to finish. I wasn't allowed, I guess, to just let it be endless like that. But
right.
Yeah, that was pretty, probably the toughest part.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet. I like that you partnered with people, though, to make this whole thing happen. I think that was very mm-hmm. smart to reach out to someone that can help guide you and then go the route of a publisher, knowing that, again, someone would be there to guide the process, mm-hmm. obviously keep you on deadline. And, you know, we need people to protect us from ourselves. Because yes. like I just said, you know, how easy would it be to reread it for the fifth or sixth time and decide, maybe I'm just going to make a couple of small changes. And before you know it, you know, you're 6 new months into it. I can imagine it just snowball.
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans for launching the book? Like, is it, I mean, obviously times are different. We can't yes. have big, you know, book signings and all that type of thing,
yep.
but you know, what are your plans for launching? Are you going to be on Amazon? Are you going to sell it on your website?
So it's currently already up for pre-order and mm-hmm. it's on the Simon & Schuster website. And then from there they have links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and the other kind of major booksellers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still early because we're not actually releasing until April 6th, but it is available. And then closer to that date, probably in January, we'll start doing more of the pre-order marketing.
Yeah.
January, February. Don't really know yet.
Mm-hmm.
See how it goes. And then as far as, you know, book tour and all that, that's...
Yeah, who knows? I mean, really.
Yeah, that... Of course, wasn't the original plan, but now right. we're not sure.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff, though, is being done virtually just fine now with the publishers. So
that's true.
Yeah. Lots that's of true. Interviews, podcasts, Zoom stuff. I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I'm super stoked about the book and I'm glad that you're willing to talk Thanks. About it a little bit. I think yeah. that's one of the biggest things that the biggest changes probably in the last 2 years. At least mm-hmm. I think, you know, for you. And so I thought it would be a perfect thing to talk about on the Where Are They Now? But let's talk a bit about where you're going next. So not that any of us can predict the future. I mean, we all learned that this year for sure. But, you know, what are the next steps for you? What do you see next?
I would love to do some type of product. To me, I see that as I assume a lot of designers are, but I like to be in control. I like a heavy hand,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of doing a product or some kind of collaboration on product is very, I see that as a very serious thing. It's something that I would invest a ton of time into. So it's hard for me to plan that far ahead. And of course, that has to be something that, again, it's collaborative. I can't just kind of pull that out of nowhere
right.
without a ton of capital. But that's definitely something I would like to do, especially after the book comes out. I'm hoping that will get me a little bit more visibility. Mm-hmm. And then we can look into product collabs or licensing, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought up visibility because that's something I wanted to ask you about. As far as when we were talking about the intention of the book, because, mm-hmm. you know, my intention is just that I'm trying to increase visibility. So obviously, you know, you were shooting for the same thing, right?
Yeah. And I think one thing that I've heard a lot within the publishing industry is that you don't write a book to make money.
Right. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, you could. It's mm-hmm. certainly possible that your book could just be an absolute, you know, mega seller.
Be the next Rachel Hollis.
Exactly. But the likelihood of someone like me who's, you know, not a huge name and, you know, it's possible, but
that's what Rachel Hollis said. Come on now.
Okay. You know me, I'm always going to shy away, but that's not my intent, right? I went into this knowing like it could make me some money, but that's not I'm not counting on that, mm-hmm. right? I'm still a designer. I still run my business. My hope is that it gets me out there as more of an expert in my field and will get me, you know, a little bit more visibility with the general public, with the internet at large, with
yeah.
press, whoever.
And I'm potential really, partners.
Yeah, potential yeah. partners, brands that make kids' products, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad that you said that it's not, you know, these things are not moneymakers, just like licensing and everything else. I really mm-hmm. do think it is. It's all about visibility. And it's not about credibility either. I want to make that clear mm-hmm. because, you know, clearly you are knowledgeable and credible in your field and what you do. You've been doing it for a long time. It's not about establishing credibility, but, you know, that visibility can take you a lot of different places. And it sounds like you are open to, you know, new adventures in your business. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a good avenue for that. It's a good step in that direction.
Yeah. And one kind of side note, we were lucky enough to get a publishing deal, mm-hmm. you know, with Simon & Schuster, but I had a backup plan mm-hmm. because I didn't know if that was going to happen. And, you know, so having that backup plan of self-publishing is totally still doable. Even if, you know, if you don't get a book deal, if you don't get an agent, whatever, you can do so much with self-publishing
mm-hmm.
and there's so many resources available. So I don't think that that's even a limitation.
Right. Right.
I agree. If you're after it for just visibility, right? If you're after, sure. I want to make $1 million, maybe not. But
yeah, you may want to go to that next level. You know what yeah. I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So it has been about 2 years. So I don't think either of us remember your answers to the signature questions. Mm-mm. And yeah, I really don't think I have the capacity to remember that. So let's ask them again and then let's compare our answers.
Okay.
A lot has happened in 2 years.
Yes.
So what would you say now is the secret to your survival?
Secret to my survival. I kind of think that might be, like I told you earlier, fully committing to the niche.
Mm-hmm.
I say niche. I heard you say niche. I'm not sure which is correct.
I'm not sure either.
We'll go with both.
Okay.
But because I know we talked about kind of that happening early. It kind of did, but it didn't really fully 100% happen mm-hmm. until recently, where that little bug in my brain is gone. That was pretty recent.
Right.
And that, I think, ever since I kind of put my foot down on that, things mm-hmm. have been a lot smoother and I've had a lot more business. And my brain is free of kind of that, what if I don't do kitchens and bathrooms?
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that takes 10 or 12 years. It yes. doesn't happen overnight. So just because we talk about how important it is and how it will value your business, everyone, it doesn't happen the first year. It may not happen the first 5 years. It right. could take 10 years. So let's talk about the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, and let's limit ourselves to the last time we spoke. So that would be 2018.
Okay. So the then of 2018, I think I would say I wish I had known that it was possible to do what I'm doing now. Because the last time we talked, I was in a bit of a transitionary period in my life. Things were kind of up in the air. I had just lost my business partner.
Mm.
Not lost, but I was doing things on my own for the first time, and it was a little nuts. And if you had told me at that day that I wouldn't have a book deal right now, I wouldn't have believed it.
Right.
And I still kind of don't, you know? So I think just that level of, you know, yeah, this is a thing that I can go after and probably get done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that level of confidence, I think that's it.
Right. It's a total evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that we're having this conversation right now. And I'm loving this series already because we get to revisit things like that. And we get to give real examples of that evolutionary process, how it works, that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just didn't know 2 years ago that we would be sitting here talking about your book right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. We had no idea.
And here we are. I always ask about paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine through this book writing process, you may have learned some new ways to pay it forward. I feel like you're paying it forward to just, you know, the community, society in general, you know, the fact that it's something that's going to inspire, you know, so many consumers and moms and parents and, you know, things like that. Maybe I should let you elaborate on that.
Yeah, I feel something's tingling in my brain. I feel like we talked about this a little bit last time, as far as the, you know, the interior design industry is really it's a luxury industry. And, you know, when we're talking about nursery specifically and, you know, having a comfortable, safe, functional space for a child, and then not having the opportunity to do that because it's out of your price range is a bummer. And I do think that having a resource out there like this could be very helpful. And a lot of it is kind of safety and function focused. There's a lot of info in there about that. So I think just having something to read that you will make you sleep better at night. You know, you're not going to worry if I put this here or things like that. And to know that it can be done on a budget if needed. You know, because we live right now, everything's on Instagram and it's so perfect. And I always laugh when we style photo shoots. Like, this is it would never be like this.
Right. It does not look like this.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm all about kind of transparency in that way. So I think it's good to put that out. There's even a note in the book where I wrote specifically, you know, the rooms that you'll see even in this book don't necessarily look like this all the time. You know, we photoshopped out the baby monitor hanging in the corner or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Because when we're scrolling all day and just seeing perfect, it can really mess with your brain.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny that you say that because I love the imagery, but I mean, there's one in particular where there's the beautiful Hermes blanket hanging over the crib and I'm like, don't babies puke all the time?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure how realistic that, how practical that is. But it looks great.
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, this has been fun. It has been fun catching up with you. I love hearing where you've come. I love hearing where you're going. Tell us how we can keep in touch with you. Share your website with us again and how we can follow you on Instagram, because I know those are the two best places to know what you're up to, learn when the book is going to be available. In fact, it's available now. And if you're going to do any sort of promos in 2021, we can be aware of them as well.
Yeah. My website is just littlecrowninteriors.com. There is a book page up on the website. Oh, so cool. You can see there's a little, you know, summary and whatever pre-order buttons there as well. And then I hang out on Instagram too. So I'm there at littlecrowninteriors.
Perfect.
That's where you find me.
All right, everybody, go out and get it. If you're expecting, you got to have it. If you know someone who's expecting, and I think we all do right now, it's the perfect gift.
Yeah, so. And you know, designers also need to know all the safety and function stuff when they're designing nurseries for their clients.
Completely.
Hint, wink, wink.
So designers, a little bit of knowledge in there. And we talked about this in our first interview too, because that's something that I've always avoided. Probably because I've known you for so long and I've heard your stories and I'm like, that's a lot of responsibility. I don't know how to do those covers on the electrical outlets and what else. There's a lot of safety involved and a lot of things that are not, you know, typical concerns throughout a whole home that are very specific to a nursery. So yeah, great resource guide for designers as well.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. It was great catching up with you.
You too, Rick.
Well, just as I suspected, Naomi has been very busy since we spoke last. I was so excited to catch up and talk about her new book, Your Perfect Nursery, which is on pre-sale now at Amazon and officially releases on April 6th. Nothing excites me more than the success of my fellow design professionals. The only thing better is witnessing the support of our design community when it comes to the success of others. So everyone, go to Amazon right now and pre-order your copy today. It's the perfect gift for expecting parents, and it's a must-have for every designer's reference library. I'm glad that we discussed the many benefits of becoming an author and the exercise of re-identifying a target audience for the book, which in this case is not necessarily the same target audience as her core design business. This effort is more about being of service to the masses and sharing knowledge and inspiration for all to enjoy. It's also about good old visibility and capturing the attention of industry brands and allies in the interest of future collaborations. There are so many great reasons for writing a book, many of which are not always so obvious. I hope this conversation provided some new insight on a few. It was fun revisiting the question of what's one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? When we spoke back in 2018, Naomi would have never imagined that she would be launching her very own book in 2021, but here we are. It doesn't surprise me one bit, because I believe that every single one of us is destined to achieve great things. I predict that the next time we catch up with Naomi, we'll be discussing her experience being on the bestsellers list and her foray into brand collaborations. You heard it here first. I hope this episode has inspired you to think big and to step outside of your comfort zone in an effort to be the amazing entrepreneur that you are. Thank you for joining us for another conversation about life, leadership, and the business of design. We're collecting rave reviews for 2021, so take a minute and rate us on iTunes and tell us why you love Design Biz Survival Guide. We also love your suggestions and feedback, so go ahead, DM us on Instagram or email me direct at rick@designbizsurvivalguide.com. Thanks everyone, and until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.